Are you ready to talk Padres baseball?
We've got you covered.
Tonight, it's baseball night in San Diego as the Padres take on the Pirates. And our host, Mike Grace, knows it's all fun and games.
Don't be so serious. We get to talk about baseball for a living. I mean, come on.
Today, we've also got Bill Center in studio, who, unlike our host last week, Randy Jones, has actually decided to show up and do the show today.
I think that in the history of Padres Social Hour, that was probably the darkest moment.
Literally.
Yes.
Literally the darkest moment in show history.
Now, broadcasting from the AMR studio, it's Padre Social Hour, presented by United Airlines, with your hosts, Mike Grace and Bill Center.
Padres at bases loaded, nobody out. Now bases loaded, two out for Norris. And he hits it well to deep center. McCutcheon's going back. He's still going back. And it's gone. A walk-off grand slam from Derek Norris. All he needed was a base hit.
Oh, my. Baseball is a beautiful, beautiful game. Jesse Agler with the radio call last night. Did anything special happen last night, Bill?
Not at all.
Not at all.
I like the way he ended that. All he needed was a base hit. Like, come on, just get the single.
We see that sometimes.
Right.
All you need is a base hit, a fly ball, and you just crush it.
Right.
And he just crushed it.
He did. But the best part of that, I mean, the best play on that, Sean Kelly in the bullpen catching the, caught it perfect.
Stuck the glove out,
yeah.
Nabbed it. No big deal.
Went back, got his jacket, and walked in.
He was ready to come into the ball game.
He was coming in. He was all warmed up. The home run, catches the ball, goes back, picks up his jacket, and walks in.
What a fun night at Petco Park last night.
It was.
And so many things happened throughout the night. It was one of those games where you were down most of the game. Shields gives up a couple runs but pitches well. The offense can't get much going.
And Francisco Liriano for the Pirates is on top of his game.
Yeah, really, really sharp. Good. You know, we've seen him be up and down throughout his
right.
career. He's had the injury problems coming back from injuries, but he was really sharp. And we know what this team can do against left-handed pitching. And he was really good last night. Got to the bullpen, though, and the Padres made something happen last night. Derek Norris, obviously, with the big walk-off grand slam, he had had such a rough night. He had four strikeouts, and our good buddy Patrick Kurish, Fire Figures on Twitter, looked back. And throughout the history of baseball that we can find, no major leaguer has ever struck out four times and then hit a walk-off grand slam.
Right. That he would even have five at-bats in a situation in a game like that. But and like Norris said, you know, up until the grand slam, that was one of the worst games of his life.
Yeah, and that's a fantastic segue, Bill. Bloopers paying attention here. We're going to listen to his post-game comments because Derek is just a very interesting, fun guy, and he just had awesome
right.
questions. And Chris Budden asked him, he said, after the game, couple tough at-bats going into that one, what were you looking for against Cahill? And this is what Derek had to say.
Tell you what, that was one of the worst performances offensively I've ever had. But, you know, we battled all night. I just trying to get the barrel on the ball and left something out over the middle for me and carried out of the ballpark.
Say tough, what adjustments did you make there?
I got nothing for you. Just trying to make contact and trying to put the ball in play. Just got a good pitch to hit.
What were you looking for? What were you trying to do after the four strikes? I got nothing for you.
Right. I'm just trying to get the ball into play. That's all he's trying to do.
He's as honest as any baseball
right.
player can be.
Right.
And just what a moment. And good for him because probably nobody works harder than this guy to see him struggle like that and to be able to come through for this team to win a ball game. Really, really fun for him.
I mean, and he's on top in terms of – right now he's fifth in the All-Star voting, which I think is a crime.
Really is.
Because, one, he's thrown out more runners from catcher than any other catcher in the major leagues. Two, he leads all catchers in RBIs and extra base hits. Right.
Pretty much has him doubled up.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he's got twice as many doubles as any other catcher in major leagues. And it, to me, it's a shame. And again, that's one of the things that really hurts the Padres is being on the West Coast because so many fans in the East really never see the Padres play.
Yeah, and you've got – he's also going up against Yadier Molina, who has such a passionate fan base.
Right.
And he's not the catcher he was, still very productive. But I would also say the interesting thing about Norris is he is still a legit full-time catcher. You look at a guy like Buster Posey, he's not catching all the time,
he's a lot at first base, right?
Listed as a catcher, but that changes the dynamic. And to have an offensive bat like that in the catcher position can really be a game changer for a team. Not too many people have an offensive catcher like that.
Right. Now, you know, looking down the road, you know, if this guy is the offensive weapon that he is, like San Francisco with Buster Posey, they made the decision that we're better served if he's in the lineup every day, and that means we're going to not play him at catcher as much so he does play first base.
It's always an interesting dynamic trying to figure out how valuable is that bat as a catcher, or is he too good of a hitter to stay a catcher and possibly risk being injured or wearing down. It's always such a fine balance because it really is an advantage. Like when Jed Jerko was giving you so much power at second base in a very non-traditional sense, having a catcher that can hit 300 with some power, all the extra base hits he's given you, really hardly any other team in the league can have that.
Right. And I remember way back when they were even talking about Johnny Bench moving to third base because his bat was so valuable, they were concerned that catching would shorten his career, which quite honestly, it does to a lot of players. Catchers' careers are not as long. And, you know, the thought of moving him to third base was very early in their careers. They were talking about that.
Yeah, it'll be interesting, especially with a guy like Austin Hedges. They have both of these guys under control, and Hedges is such a good defensive catcher.
Right.
You got to see where his bat develops and where Derek could possibly play down the road. But all those things are going to factor in.
I'm still hoping that Tim Fedorovich comes back because I think Austin Hedges at this point would be much better served swinging every day in the Pacific Coast League. I think it was good to bring him up. I think it was invaluable. He's learned an awful lot, and the Padres have seen what he can do behind the plate, but it's not really helping his bat at this time to be sitting on the bench like he is.
Obviously a move of necessity. They needed a good defensive catcher on this team, and Fedorovich hopefully comes back after the All-Star break, and I think it's true. Hedges is getting his feet wet. He's getting a sense of major league pitching. He's getting a sense of major league catching. You can kind of throw out his offensive numbers because he gets such sporadic at-bats. It's not fair to place judgment on him seeing what he's doing in that situation. So eventually when he does get back down to AAA, it is going to be more valuable for him to play every day and see pitching every single day.
Right. But the Padres, and I think correctly, came to the conclusion that they could not move forward with Will Nieves' defense behind the plate as the number two catcher. And they needed to make a change, and the only guy they had to make that change was Hedges.
Definitely the case. The other big at-bat in the game was Abraham Almonte. Comes up in the bottom of the seventh, and rips a double into the gap. And that really got the momentum going back towards the Padres side. Whether you believe in momentum or not, it was kind of a dead crowd, a dead game, and that really got everybody back into the game, being able to tie it right there.
And that was the inning after Liriano left the game. I mean, so they got all six of their runs in three innings, two-plus innings, two-thirds, against the Pirates' bullpen.
Yeah, we're scheduled to talk to Abraham Almonte, so we're going to get his thoughts on last night's game here in just a little while. The other side of the ledger for the Padres, James Shields, goes out six innings, two earned runs, another quality start, a good outing. Really almost got out of that inning where he gave up a couple runs without any damage. Pedro Alvarez beats the shift, but pretty much what James Shields has been giving you. When you need him to go out there, put up a lot of zeros, he's done it, put this team in a position to win, and it's almost like he's in that spot in the rotation where it's impossible for him to take a loss, and special things like last night happened for him.
Right. You know, the shift was interesting because we're seeing more and more teams shift. I don't like shifts with runners in scoring position as much as I like them with nobody on, because so many things can happen unusual in runners in scoring position, or if you've got a force at second or play at third. I'm not a big fan of the shift when there are more moving parts.
It's been interesting. We've seen a couple plays where infielders will actually change positions in the middle of an at-bat depending on how many strikes. So a lot of times when the batter would get two strikes on him, the more mobile fielder would move into the hole thinking that a left-handed batter might have a better chance of going the other way with it, and so they change infielders. It's really, really fascinating strategy.
And with two strikes, again, I I'm probably not in a shift with two strikes because you don't. The batter's just trying to protect the plate at that point.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think that's definitely the case, and it's interesting to watch baseball evolve in general. Like you're saying, with all the shifting that they're doing, it's all obviously stats based and numbers based. Where the most likelihood of a batter hitting the ball, you right. want your defenders there. But that's also the beauty of baseball is that a guy like Pedro Alvarez can screw one the other way up the middle, and it goes for a base hit.
And what's surprising to me is I was started watching baseball in the 50s, and the game has changed so much in terms of starting pitchers not going nine innings, everything. There was no slider back then. There was really no split finger. So velocity has increased quite a bit with pitchers. I mean, there are so many guys now throwing 95. But the basics of the game, the 90 feet to first base and all the basics of the game still work. That hasn't changed.
No, it really is funny how so much has changed, but the game is still
right,
the game.
Right.
And you talk about pitchers and velocity, and I think this is something Tony Gwynn talked about. The further we've gotten into present day, the more guys coming out of the bullpen throw 95, 96. And that was never the case. Those
right.
were your starters, and the next level of guys were in the bullpen, and they weren't the guys that were throwing that hard. It was a different type of player that was in the bullpen.
Right. In the 50s and 60s, your bullpen was made up of guys that couldn't earn a starting spot. Now, they're made up of guys that, hey, his stuff is great at one-inning increments. And then after that, it falls off. And, boy, we've pinpointed these guys. We found them, and that's our bullpen.
It'd be interesting to see, like, how these guys would have ended up in times before. Because now there is so much specialization. Guys probably get put into those roles much earlier in their career, even in college or maybe even in high school. You have high school closers now. And
right.
that was obviously never the case
never.
20 years ago even. So guys get put into that. If you've got a live arm, they probably would have always put you into a starting role, whether you were going to fail or succeed. And maybe eventually you became a closer like a Lee Smith or something like that. But I think back then, pretty much you were always going to be a starter if you threw that hard, right?
Right. And the bullpen, basically, I mean, in the 50s and 60s were guys that were left over. And there were a lot of those guys because back then you also had a four-man rotation.
Right, definitely.
But back then you didn't have starting pitchers weren't throwing 90, 90, 90, 90. They were a lot more curveballs. You don't see the curveball as much as you used to.
Very true.
And there were a lot more the fastball wasn't as crisp. There were a lot more, hit the curveball, get a ground out, and get out of there. It was a different game, but the same dimensions work.
As much as things change, they also stay the same.
Right.
Really, really well said. Going to talk a lot more about last night's game as well as tonight's game and so many other things going on here at Petco Park, and likely going to talk to Abraham Almonte in just a little while. But want to remind everybody, Kids Fest at the Park returns tomorrow, featuring bounce houses and other inflatables, games, face painters, balloon artists, and more kid-friendly activities at the Park of the Park. Due to the late start time tomorrow, game time is at 6:10, everybody. Kids Fest will close at dusk. Get your tickets at Padres.com. More Padres Social Hour coming up right after the break.
We're back to the AMR studio located in the Western Metal Supply Company building. It's more of Padres Social Hour.
It is Padres Social Hour. We try to be as social as possible. Want to hear from you out there? Using Twitter, hashtag PadresSH, or we've got our live chat with moderator Becky. It's Padres.com/social hour. Send us your questions, your comments. Just tell us how excited you were about last night's game. Yesterday was a really special baseball day in San Diego. San Diego stayed up in Lake Elsinore
right.
in their regional.
Steal of home
to win the game.
Yeah. How about that?
That's one of the cool things about college baseball.
Right.
That's the type of stuff that happens in college baseball.
Well, and actually, we had a little college baseball going on here last night in a couple plays.
A little bit.
Right.
The ball gets thrown around a little bit, and,
right.
and all kinds of crazy stuff happens. But really cool for the Aztecs, Stephen Pilares. Steals home for the go-ahead run in the eighth. They beat Dylan Tate, who's likely going to be one of the top picks in the draft coming up, maybe even the number one pick. They beat number one seed UCSB, Bubba Derby. What a fantastic name that is.
Right.
Throws a complete game for the Aztecs. So really cool up there in Lake Elsinore. They're taking on Virginia for a chance to possibly move on. And then everything special happening here last night with the walk-off win on Derek Norris's grand slam. A few other things last night. Good to see Jed Jerko. Got a couple hits, a walk. Not in the lineup today, but doing some good things against left-handed pitching. I think those are all positive signs for him to continue to progress to be what he can be.
Hitting left-handers, doing a really decent job against left-handed pitching, still struggling against right-handers. 154 on the year against righties, which that just, I mean, you can't send a guy out there who's hitting 154 against right-handed pitchers.
No, and in at some point I think they're going to have to. They're going to have to see, give him a few days in a row.
Well, he does.
And see if he can start doing it, because he's done it in the past.
Right, but he's done it. I mean, this year they've sent him out, and every time they send him out against right-handers, he has really struggled.
Sure, and I think it's just at some point, give him a chance to see multiple in a row, to see if he can build some sort of a rhythm.
You know when you do that?
When you win some ball games?
When you have, like, four or five other guys going pretty good at the same time.
That's true.
Because then you can risk, okay, you know, let's take a look. We don't have to count on them because we got other guys going pretty good.
Well, and speaking of other guys going good, Will Middlebrooks has been going good.
Yes.
And I think we saw some interesting things from him last night in the shortstop position. Some defensive shifting there after some pinch hitting in the seventh. He goes into shortstop, and he made a really nice play moving up the middle. It looked very shortstop-like.
Right.
It did not look like a third baseman playing shortstop.
Actually, I thought he's looked a little bit better at third. I mean, at shortstop than he has at third. He got eaten up by a couple of really tough ground balls last week, and third basemen have to make those plays.
You know, if Alexi Amarista continues to struggle, Clint Barmas has pretty much only been playing against left-handers, it's going to be interesting to see how comfortable Buddy gets possibly giving him more starts at shortstop. And if he keeps making plays like that, you get his bat in the lineup, then you can get Jerko's bat in the lineup, then you can get Spangenberg's bat in the lineup, or Solarte when Alonso comes back. It gives you more flexibility, and it could be very interesting.
Or if Venables is still hitting well in center, and you've got Alonso at first, and he's hitting, where do you put Myers? Third base? That's where he came. I mean, that's where he started.
Well, I saw him taking grounders at short today. So
right. But and Myers has been taking grounders at third base. He was, before he got hurt, he was taking grounders at third.
He takes grounders at every single position.
Right. He takes a lot of ground balls at different positions he likes to. But he was taking grounders at third when Will Middlebrooks was in the middle of that terrible slump.
Sure. No, he's played some third base in the past. And at some point, you want to get to the point where guys have a set position so they can get comfortable defensively.
Absolutely.
But if you've got all these guys hitting well, which is different from what Buddy's had to deal with in the past where he was trying to work around guys that weren't hitting well, if you've got so many guys that are hitting well, like Buddy says, it's not a problem when people say it's a good problem to have. But getting those guys in the lineups, having that flexibility is a good thing.
Well, you're going to have to do something. I mean, because if the guys, if everybody that can hit is hitting well, you're going to have to create spots for them. You can't have Myers sitting. You can't have Alonso sitting if he's hitting well. I mean, I've heard this talk, well, they should leave Myers at first base. You know, if Alonso comes back, well, Alonso was in the top five in the National League in hitting and the top five in on-base percentage when he got hurt. I mean, you don't take somebody like that out of the lineup.
Especially, he's one of the very few guys on this team that walks. And
right.
He's doing that in his rehab assignment. We'll talk about that a little later. But he's one of the few guys, like you said, with the high on-base percentage. Even Justin Upton and Matt Kemp and these guys with the power potential that typically walk a lot are not walking a lot this year. You need a guy like Alonso
right.
that gets on base, hits for a higher average. You don't have a lot of that with all the power they have in the lineup.
I mean, earlier in spring training, they were thinking about Alonso possibly as being the number two hitter, because he does have this high on-base percentage.
I like him in the two-hole. We talked
right.
about that yesterday when you've got the lefty-righty split where he and Norris kind of swap that position in the lineup depending on whether
right.
it's a right-handed pitcher or left-handed
pitcher.
I like
right.
that because they're pretty similar hitters
right.
from opposite sides of the plate. Alonso with a little more on-base and probably Derek with a little more power. But still, you're talking about relatively high average guys, gap power, and pretty good two-hitters.
Right. I like it too, yeah. Just platoon him at number two against lefties, righties.
Makes a lot of sense. And Yonder's also clearly the best defensive first baseman they have. Now, Myers has shown a lot of potential, but Yonder's played it for a long time and is an above-average defender in general.
Right, and he is a true first baseman. I mean, right now you've got Solarte, bless his soul, playing out of position. And that's not an easy position to play. I mean, it's really not because, one, there's a lot of footwork. There's a lot of reaching with your feet and not with your eyes. So it's a little tougher position than most people
and
think.
And a lot of things people probably don't realize is when the ball's hit to the outfield, you've got a lot of different responsibilities being a cutoff man in the infield and backing different plays up. So it's a very different position, especially for a guy that's a pretty solid second baseman and I would say a good third baseman to have to go over to the other side of the diamond. We talked about the difference the ball coming off the bat is on that side of the diamond.
Right, it's a lot different.
It's an adjustment for him, and we've seen him go through that. But he's been doing a pretty adequate job for the situation he's been put in.
Right. No, I thought he's done an above-average job when – first couple games I saw him, I thought, wow, he's more comfortable there than I would have ever thought. Now, recently, he hasn't played quite as well in the field, and he's in a little bit of a slump. But Solarte has done a nice job at first as a reserve.
Doing what is asked of him by the team. When we get back, we're going to get you some more updates on some of the players on the disabled list and everything going on with those guys trying to get back to San Diego. But first, the first National League All-Star Game ballot update has been announced. Derek Norris, Justin Upton, and Matt Kemp need your votes to get to the top 10. Vote for these Padres All-Stars up to 35 times at Padres.com/vote or with the MLB.com @bat. Let's get Derek Norris into the All-Star game. I think he has truly earned it. More Padres Social Hour coming up right after this.
We're back to the show that gives you everything San Diego Padres. It's Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines.
Welcome back to the AMR Studios, and welcome to his home away from home, the AMR Studios, Padres broadcaster Jesse Agler. A lovely call last night on the game-winning walk-off grand slam.
That was a lot of fun, huh?
Yeah, you got to tell the world about it.
Oh, I don't know about that, but it was as exciting a moment I think as we've had this season, right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah. No, I mean,
single moment. Bingo.
Single moment, yeah. Single I mean, it was the first walk-off win, which is crazy when you think about it. You know, for the Padres last year, well, they went 75 games when all was said and done. They had, like, this sort of weirdly high number of walk-off victories last year. And so here we are expecting to win more games, obviously, even though that hasn't necessarily been the case so far. But a lack of walk-offs. I think that last night is going to start a little run here. The rest of this homestand, I'm saying there's at least one, maybe two more walk-offs. How about
that? Two more walk-offs.
Wow. One or two more this homestand.
So Friar Figures always tells us all these amazing things, but since Petco Park opened, only two teams have more walk-off victories than the Padres.
Yeah, I believe the Reds are one of those teams.
And I think Oakland.
And Oakland,
all the kooky things that happen in Oakland, that's not to be unexpected. So, yeah, I think it's something we've gotten used to over the years at Petco Park.
Well, a game like last night, a hit like Norris's, the slam, does trigger a lot of momentum, but now you're calling more walk-off wins.
I don't really care if they're walk-offs. I just want wins. I just want wins, and that's the thing, all right? Three out of four. That's sort of what's in my head right now. They've won three out of the last four games. They had kind of a dramatic victory in Anaheim as part of that. Obviously, last night was a very dramatic victory. You just talked about it, you know, sort of lighting the fuse, kickstarting the momentum, however you want to put it. It's go time now, right? Like, it's past Memorial Day. It's almost June. You've won three out of four. You know, this Pittsburgh team had won seven in a row until yesterday. That's the kind of run I think we're all sort of waiting for the Padres to get on.
And if you take three out of four from the Pirates, who were hot, that's even better.
That's a real accomplishment. Right. And then the Mets come in, and the Mets had, you know, a nice stretch at one point this year, but they're sort of middling right now, and they're ripe for the taking. Then you're going to Cincinnati. That's not super scary. You're going to Atlanta. That's not super scary. The time is now, my friends.
Wow, the gauntlet has been laid down.
Let's do it.
My goodness.
Let's win some games.
You're going to go in there and give a pep talk before the game. I just always it's felt like the last few good wins we've had were like, all right, this is going to be the thing that gets them going. This is going to be the thing that gets them going.
Right, you're waiting for it.
And we're just waiting for it and waiting for it. Hopefully that was it. I mean, obviously this is the most dramatic thing we've had all season, like you said, so ideally that is what gets them started. James Shields even said it after the game last night. This is what gets a team going.
Right. I totally agree, but I think Jesse can get him going.
No.
You're fired up.
If I walked in there and just said what I said to you guys, you know what would happen? First of all, they'd say, how did you get in?
Right.
Second of all, they would roll their eyes and go back to doing whatever they were doing to get ready for the game. That's not how that works. That's but I'm glad I fired you up, Bill.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll come and give you a pep talk before the game every day.
You just did.
Yeah. No, maybe we'll make it a regular thing.
He's legitimately fired up right now.
Are you?
For
yeah,
Bill Center.
Absolutely.
This is you as excited.
Yeah.
The only time he gets more excited is when Blooper angers him, which is about to happen, by the way. You
really?
Kind of walked in on one. Blooper thinks he has this funny thing going with Bill. I don't know.
What's happening, Blooper?
Don't even.
Phil the astronaut. He was almost an astronaut once.
No,
really?
No.
What, did you
no.
go to space camp?
No, I did not. I went.
Was
I
it Johnsonville, Texas? Johnson Space
Houston?
Center?
Years ago, I had an offer to sit behind one of those consoles. As a, you know, one of the
Houston We Have a Problem
right,
guys?
Exactly.
They were going to give you a pocket protector and some black glasses.
Never, whatever he is
but
saying.
Blooper's decided that that's what he is now because he's behind the controls. And when we're here, we
so
are
he thinks
astronauts.
He's like a rocket scientist.
Oh, yeah, he thinks
now.
He's Ed Harris in Apollo 13.
That's phenomenal.
He's going to get the vest with the patches, even though he can't go up into space because of his bad hip
so
or
Jim
whatever
Lovell,
it was.
Right? Yes. The astronaut, the sort of protagonist, the Tom Hanks character, I went to college with his grandson.
Oh, that's
that right.
Great.
Yeah, very cool guy.
Very cool.
Those guys, I mean, that's a whole different breed of cat, those
astronauts. Yes, absolutely, especially then.
Right.
Especially then. I mean, in the infancy of the space program, I think we should try and get this thing as far away from baseball as possible to make Blooper sweat. Right. Just start talking about anything but baseball right now.
Well, there was the astronaut lady who went a little crazy and was like stalking. She wore a diaper in her car because she did not want to have to stop.
So I heard there's a really good documentary out right now, and I haven't seen it yet.
PBS.
Maybe.
KPBS just ran it last week on the astronauts.
No.
Did he read your mind?
No. He tried to, and he came up empty.
KPBS last week had a great documentary on the space program.
Okay. I'll look for it. I've got the PBS app on my iPad. They have all that. But on Big Bird, so that's when you said PBS. I thought maybe you actually had read my mind. But Big Bird documentary is supposed to be phenomenal. And one of the stories I heard out of it was that when the Challenger space shuttle exploded tragically in 1986, which as a kid growing up in Florida, that was like a really, really big deal because the space program was, you know, kind of near. And Big Bird, the guy and the costume were supposed to be on the Challenger.
Oh, my.
That was like the original plan. They were going to go up and be a part of that. And for whatever reason, I'm not entirely sure because I haven't seen the movie yet. That plan was scrapped, I think, somewhat last minute. And so they didn't go up on the Challenger.
Holy.
Interesting.
Man.
So check out the documentary.
Right.
Wow.
On Big Bird.
We're talking to flight nerd Jesse Agler. He loves anything that flies in the air. You're here. So interesting topic to get your opinion on. A.J. Ellis yesterday for the Dodgers thrown out. After umpire Mike Winters criticizes his framing of the pitch, and he was not going to take that.
It's an interesting moment in baseball, right? And we've sort of talked about this a little the last couple of years.
We've talked a lot about it, right.
Yeah, there's got to be a point when the umpires get sick of hearing about all the pitch framing.
That was my point earlier this year when you were talking about some of the numbers
right?
here.
Like, hey, I'm sick of hearing that, and we'll use Ellis as an example, because I'm sick of hearing that Ellis is a good pitch framer. So I'm not going to give him the borderline calls anymore, because I'm saying he's trying to trick me. This is the umpire talking, right? Like, there's got to be a point where something like that happens, and then all of a sudden the whole game is different. Everything changes, right? If the umpires are like, nah, forget this guy. He's trying to fool me, you know, with the way he catches the ball.
It gets very meta.
Then, all of a sudden, like, the wheels fall off the entire thing, because this whole pitch framing thing, if you really think about it, is something that makes the umpires look bad, right? Or at least maybe that's how they perceive it, some of them.
And a lot of them are looking terrible this year.
Yeah.
I mean,
and especially when you consider
thing.
That the strike zone's on TV, what, you know, like 80% of the time now. So everybody at home is like, man, this guy's terrible. And that information, even when it was private, was probably pretty tough for the umpires. And now that it's out there publicly and they're hearing about it all the time, there's got to be some break point for the umpires where they're like, forget this pitch framing stuff. I don't want to look bad by giving a call. And so they're going to know who the good pitch framers are because all that information's out there. It's something I can read on FanGraphs. So certainly Mike Winters or Laz Diaz can have access to it. And it's going to be really interesting as time goes on here.
Yeah, Yadier Molina for many years has been one of the best. And this year has been one of the worst.
Terrible.
And did he all of a sudden forget how to do this? I don't see that as a skill a catcher loses.
Right.
There's got to be more to it than
maybe
that.
Maybe the umpires got together in the offseason and they were like, hey, Molina, no more. Like, we're not – I don't know. Probably not. That sounds very dramatic, like something that would happen in a Simpsons episode up on the hill. But, like, it has to enter their minds at some point. I think especially with the amount of attention that framing is getting. You know, different blogs, people writing about it, and knuckleheads like us talking about it on shows like this. It's very interesting.
I think my favorite part of the whole situation, basically the internet won, and AJ Celis said, I will take the criticism of my pitch framing from bloggers and people on Twitter, but I will not take it from an umpire.
Yeah.
And the internet won. I mean, for him to go and reference, he's looking at it. He sees what's being said about him as a pitch framer and not going to take it from Mike Winters. And Mike Winters, obviously, all kinds of issues. We've seen it before with Milton Bradley. And he said some very unflattering things to him, instigating.
Yeah.
He might be in trouble again for this because they read his lips last time. We'll see if they read his lips again on this
one. I love lip reading in baseball. It's one of my favorite pastimes.
Argument
or like a manager. Like I find it very fascinating. I think there was a moment last night. The Fox Sports San Diego cameras had Middlebrooks and I believe Kotze talking in the dugout late in the game. And they were sort of – you could tell they were talking about – one of the relievers for the Pirates, and he was like, four-seamer? Yeah, four-seamer. And it was just neat, like, you know, kind of seeing them talk about whatever's happening.
You know, the one thing about the umpires, just I think they are spinning out of control right now.
Really?
Yeah, I just don't.
That's aggressive.
Well, I mean, for Winters to say what he does, we've seen just how bad the strike zone's been this year, the home plate umpire wanting to make the calls of both the strike and a check
on
swing.
On the appeals, yeah.
All right, I just think that they are spinning out of control. And when you look at the – and I have no problem with the appeal process. And, yes, there are going to be calls that are missed and everything. But just the way that they are handling things, to me, I think there's got to be –
there's a breaking point coming.
I think there's got to be a point where Rob Manfred says, look, moving forward, we either do this, the umpires do it this way, or we're going to get new umpires.
I really hope it doesn't take something really bad happening in a really big game for that to happen. You know, sometimes it takes something terrible happening, and I don't mean terrible in the true sense of tragedy, but a baseball tragedy, a significant game is affected by a bad call that they can't overturn by replay, or obviously you can't overturn balls and strikes.
Right.
I mean,
but that's one of the things that led to replay, right? Is that, you know, you had several of these moments, you know, whether it was Jim Joyce and Galarraga at first base, the Tiger pitcher, or whatever, like you had these little moments, some of them bigger than others,
right.
And that was a pretty big one, adding up where we got to that tipping point where it's like, okay. You know, something's got to give here, and we got to try something else. So you're right. Hopefully it isn't one big thing, rather this collection of smaller things, and it's quite a collection at this point.
It really is.
In 2015.
And years ago, it was the Eric Gregg strike zone that
in 97 the world, NLCS.
Right.
Braves and Marlins, Levon Hernandez.
That started this whole discussion of, hey, we got to clean it up.
Well, a couple of years after that is when the umpires went on strike, and a bunch of those guys lost their jobs,
right.
And a few of them have come back. But that was a major moment in baseball
Absolutely.
History.
Right.
Yeah, I'm a fan of Sandy Alderson, and I loved how he handled the umpires when he was in the commissioner's office. You need somebody like him handling that group.
Right. Baseball needs some – actually, I really believe that baseball needs somebody to take control of the umpires. And if it takes firing a few, that will get the message out.
Accountability. They don't have any.
Right.
They need it.
They have none right now.
They need it. All right. Hey, good stuff. We got back to baseball somehow. Bloopers, stop sweating. And we'll let you get back to your game preparation.
He gets very sweaty.
So how do you top last night as a broadcaster?
Well, forget. I don't care about it as a broadcaster. I care about the Padres. And if they like cruise to a 7-0 win, I think we're good.
Yeah, but that's got to be so much fun to call.
It was
like
fun.
That.
I think, and I'm not positive because it's only my own like hazy recollection of the moment. But I think I actually stood up. Like mid-home run, which I've never done before. That's how excited I was that like I actually stood up and
Sweet.
Got out of my seat as the ball was going back. And the fun thing about it, just from like a nuts and bolts broadcasting perspective, was that it was not a no-doubter. Even though it ended up landing, you know, pretty far over the
right.
fence, Sean Kelly caught it, which I liked. But it was not one off the bat that I knew it was a home run right away.
No.
I definitely had to wait a couple moments and see, and that makes it fun because you sort of build that anticipation.
Although you knew it was going to be the game ender. I mean, there was no way that you were going to catch up to that ball.
You're right. I'm thinking, all right, it just needs to get over his head. But knowing it was a possible grand slam, you're sort of holding and waiting and seeing what happens.
My favorite part, okay, the grand slam is my favorite part, but still.
You're making Blooper very nervous, by the way.
Sean Kelly warming up. turn around, catch the ball, goes, gets his jacket, and then starts walking in.
It was great. I asked Sean Kelly, I go, hey, did you give the ball to Norris? And he goes, yeah. And I told him, you know, that he's out on replay review because I caught it.
Well played.
Sweet.
I'm with you on tonight. I'll take a nice 4-1 victory where we lead the whole way.
Yeah, like just beat him up. You know, never really that close. No dramatics. Throw a cycle in there for fun.
Nice. All right, we got word that Abraham Almonte is on his way.
To here?
To here.
Oh, very nice.
Going to take your seat.
Okay,
and,
good.
We're gonna
he's
talk
more
to him.
Interesting than I am. Nice guy, by the
yes,
way.
Yeah,
really.
Good tremendously try. Nice man, Abraham Almonte.
So hopefully we're going to talk to him next, and thanks for stopping by.
No, thank
this
you for having
fun.
Me.
This is always fun.
I appreciate it.
Appreciate it.
Yeah.
As your hometown pet retailer, Petco is proud to partner with the Padres and Petco Park. Thank you, San Diego, for sharing in our passion for pets and baseball. Petco, the power of together. Thanks to Jesse Agler, stopping by Padres Social Hour here in the AMR Studios. Coming back right after this.
Welcome back to the AMR Studio. Live inside Petco Park, this is Padres Social Hour.
Welcome back to the show. Bill Center, Mike Grace from the AMR Studios, and welcoming to the Cholula hot seat, a guy swinging a pretty hot bat from last night, outfielder Abraham Almonte, had the big double to tie the game last night, and that had to be pretty nice, ripping one into the gap like that to tie the ball game. That was good stuff.
Yeah. Always feel good when you help your team win.
You smoked that. I mean, that ball was crushed. It didn't have the height to get out, but I mean, that ball was hit as hard as anything hit last night. What was the pitch? What were you looking for?
I just looking for something like up and a little bit close to me that I can do damage. And I saw the high pitch like up and a little bit away, and then I found a good pitch to the wall.
Did a really nice job of going the other way with it. After a game like that, so much excitement. Does it take a while to get calmed down, to be able to go to sleep after a game like that? So much excitement.
It's a lot of energy right there, but I'm always like kind of like a calm guy. I'm really energy guy, but at the same time, it's kind of weird.
I've seen you in the clubhouse. You've got a lot of chatter going. You're not a calm guy. You're a...
I had a lot of things going, but I know how to be like real calm.
You can
calm.
Turn it down when you need to. Yeah, absolutely.
So now we got to ask you. Ninth inning, you're on second, force out at the plate, and all of a sudden we look at second base, and you're still pretty close to second, and all, running like heck to get to third.
And that play, I think I get so focused and see if the guy in third is going to score and we're going to win, and I just – stuck in second, and when I saw the play, I'm like, oh, I got to run, and finally I get to third base on time.
You got there pretty quick after that.
Yeah.
That was about as, I would imagine that's about as quick as you can move.
When I get to the dugout after the celebration, Alexi asked me in the shower, hey, Abraham, what do you think when I head back to the infield? I'm like, when? Did you step in second, mate? And I'm like, oh, you saw that?
I think... Sadly, Abraham, I think everybody saw that.
Yeah.
But you did do a nice job of getting down there really quick. Hey, I got a question that we've seen the outfield, the stage from, you can see where the stage was for the Rolling Stones. Does it affect the play at all? I mean, is it still playing pretty true? The outfield, center field.
The grass.
Oh,
the
no.
Grass.
I don't get any grumble yesterday anyway, but. I feel fine. Feels okay. Look a little bit different, but I don't have any problems.
But it's good.
Yeah, it's good.
Okay.
Good. Talking to outfielder Abraham Almonte here. Your role on this team a lot of times is either starting against a left-handed pitcher or coming off the bench, and you've, in a small sample size, been successful as a pinch hitter, and that's probably one of the toughest jobs there is, being a pinch hitter. You got a couple hits and a walk. How do you approach that to try to be successful, knowing that you're coming in cold to try to get a base hit or get on base as a pinch hitter?
It's a little bit hard because as a player, you get used to see pitches every day, have that feeling in the game, and when you're not a starter, it's hard. You just swing it in the cage. But I'm just trying to be mentally prepared. Like, I play the game in the dugout. No matter how I don't play, I just go pitch by pitch. I just trying to know what's going on in the game. So when I get called over there, I have pretty much idea what what's going on.
I got a different question for you. Do you and Sean Kelly ever talk about the fact that you were traded for each other and then a year later you wind up teammates with a completely different team?
He called me twins because, yeah. He said, hey, twins.
Twins?
Yeah.
Abraham was – you went from
–
to the Seattle. For Kelly went from Seattle to the Yankees, and then a year later you're both traded to San Diego.
Yeah.
In the same summer. That's weird.
That's the first time when I met him this in the spring training.
Right.
And I'm like, hey, I think I can trade for you. And he said, yes. And now we're on the same team.
So in the past, you just passed each other in the air. That was the first time you saw him, actually.
I was in DR when I got traded. So I never seen him before. I saw pictures on the internet. But this spring training was the first time.
Good to get connected. Abraham, congratulations on last night's big hit. Congratulations on the win. Really appreciate you stopping by Social Hour and spending some time with us today.
Thank you. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, guys.
He was on the Cholula Hot Seat. Cholula Hot Sauce will elevate the flavor of your food with its delicious blend of unique peppers and authentic spices. Cholula, the flavorful hot sauce with the iconic wooden cap and proud partner of the San Diego Padres. Thanks to Abraham Almonte for stopping by the set here at the AMR Studios. More coming up right after this.
You want some Padres talk?
We've got that.
Padres Social Hour returns now, presented by United Airlines.
Our thanks to Abraham Almonte for stopping by. I want to get everybody caught up on some injury updates. This is the AMR Injury Report. Quickly, Yonder Alonso in El Paso and more walks, feeling fine, looking good, looking for a Monday return. The bigger news, Brandon Morrow threw his side session today, and he will start his rehab Tuesday in San Antonio.
Right. He will. He's on an interesting schedule. He's on the same schedule right now as Ian Kennedy. He'll make at least one rehab start, possibly two, and then he's going to, maybe Despaigne goes back to Longman, but it's very interesting that he's on a parallel course with Kennedy. Also on injury news today, Will Myers took swings in the cage, hit off the tee, 3 sets of 10.
Really good to see Will getting some swings, and Ian Kennedy also
no pain.
And Ian Kennedy also threw his side session,
right,
working on some mechanical stuff with Darren Balsley. That's going to hopefully straighten him out. We'll see what happens. He'll get a couple more starts until Morrow's ready to get back into the rotation pretty soon after that. So that was the AMR Injury Report. American Medical Response is the emergency medical team for Petco Park and wants to remind you to stay safe, San Diego. To learn more about AMR, visit AMRSanDiego.com. One final segment, head-to-head challenge coming up here in just 2 minutes.
From start to finish, it's the best 60 minutes of Padres talk you'll find anywhere. Now, from the AMR studio, it's more of Padres Social Hour.
Welcome back. It's time for the Supercuts head-to-head challenge. At Supercuts, they pay attention to every detail, the cut, the lines, the hot towel finish, so you can feel sharp, clean, and ready to go. Find a Supercuts near you at supercuts.com. Yesterday, Blooper chose Derek Norris. I was planning on giving him a lot of grief. Randy had James Shields. He pitched very well, but I think it's pretty fair to say that Blooper won yesterday.
He won.
Derek Norris with a walk-off grand slam. That's about as positive as an impact, so let's take a look at the standings.
Yay.
Bill, you're representing the couch. We are still winning, so I hope you choose wisely today. Blooper gets to pick first.
First cut.
So he's going to take his player. Who do you have today, Blooper?
Going with Justin Upton.
Justin Upton, a very solid choice. Bill?
I'm taking Tyson Ross.
Tyson Ross. I like his choice. And Jesse's going to decide tomorrow who the winner is. Like Jesse said, I'd love to see a nice 4-1, 4-0. Just a good pitch game. We get a lead. You see the bullpen do what they do, or Tyson goes the distance, something like that. He's facing Charlie Morton today. He's coming off an injury for the Pirates.
Hip surgery.
Hip surgery, his first start. A pretty good start, seven innings. He's got a 2.57 ERA.
I just think Tyson's on verge of breaking out here.
He's got to be. You've seen him make some steps. And Buddy said something interesting today. The important thing for him is ball strike ratio.
Absolutely.
And making them earn getting on base.
Right. Exactly. Because he doesn't give up a lot of hits, but right now his walks are up far over what they were last year.
And it's something we've talked about a lot with his short stride. His mechanics can get out of whack, and he can get into tough spots. We've seen him walk with the bases loaded, things like that.
But his last couple starts, we've seen a progression here, which I like.
Yeah, and I think Buddy's point was is he's too good of a pitcher to give guys free bases,
right.
Make them hit his nasty slider, right. His nasty fastball. So that'll be interesting to see. A pretty standard lineup today. I don't think there was anything out of the usual.
Venable leading off.
He hasn't done that in quite a while since Myers first went on the disabled list. So going to be a fun game tonight. Make sure you catch up post-game Padres Social Hour. Kurt Bavacqua, he's got Hall of Famers tonight, Raleigh Fingers and Eddie Murray. Bill is back tomorrow with Jesse at 4:30. Enjoy the game tonight. Padres Pirates. Thanks, everybody.